squint too much to see the words. Okay, Sichas Aran Os Pei Gimel. The Inyan Hayiros HaPechadim. With regard to fear and anxieties. Yiran Pachar. Sha'adim Misyare Umispachir Al Pi Arov Mikam Advarim. It's normal for people to be afraid of things. Afraid of things. I don't hear of any fears. I have fears. Anyone not have fears? It's normal, he says. Sha'adim Misyare Umispachir Al Pi Arov Mikam Advarim. People have different things that they're nervous about, that they're afraid about. Omi b'nei Adam, or people. But the Rebbe says the truth is she'eni yacholim lahazik lo klal. A lot of the things that we're worried about, the people who we think are going to harm us, or the things that we're scared are going to happen to us in this world, al pi rov, those things don't actually happen. It's very interesting. They do happen sometimes. But the thing that, you know, that the person is always nervous about, oh my gosh, what if this happens? Right, most of the time, it doesn't happen. Within any person, even if some of the things happen, most of the things that we worry about are not going to happen. Baruch Hashem, b'li ayin hara. V'hadavar nira shirak basof kisha'odam nistalik. And this matter only becomes clear when a person reaches their end, when a person is nistalik, when a person leaves this world, when you're dead. V'shochev ala aretz, and you're lying there on the ground. This is a very kind of dark image, but it's true, says Rabbi Nachman. When a person passes away and your body is placed on the ground, v'raglav el hadeles, and your feet are facing the door, as is the practice, when a person passes away, oz yihye lo yishuv hadas be'emes, v'yistakel al atzmo v'yira ha'emes. Then a person will finally have the peace of mind, to finally be able to slow down enough to talk through and to think about, right, those things that you were worried about, and you'll realize with such clarity that, wait a minute, all those things that I was so nervous about, they never happened. All the people I was worried about, who I thought could, you know, could ruin my life, or it never happened. So the Rebbe's saying there's a nekuda of emes, a certain truth of how things actually go, which, as we'll see, we already know the answer to. We know that to be true, but we don't feel that to be true. So when a person's dead, says the Rebbe, then a person will finally have the calm to be able to think about these things. And he'll realize in truth, shekol hayiro svap echadim shayem isyare me'ezeh b'nei adam, shamdu kenegdo, all of the people he was worried about, all of the individuals he was afraid would be opposition to him in his lifetime, hayakol shtusa hevel. Like the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe very famously said when the interrogator pulled out a gun and was threatening to kill him, and he said, I'm not afraid of you. He said, a person who believes in multiple gods in one world is scared of a gun. A person who believes in one god in multiple worlds, I'm not afraid. I'm not like, you could kill me, I guess, but that's not like, it doesn't scare me. You're not in charge. And all the more so what the Rebbe's saying here, that the things that we're nervous about happening, they don't happen. The Lamaisa, they don't happen for most people. They don't happen. Ah, so yeah, that's how the news sells, you know. The news is good at taking the outliers and the scary things in life and making you think that that's going to happen to you, that any second this could happen to you, because it happened to someone. But statistically speaking, in other words, in a firmer way to say that, the way Hashem runs the world is it doesn't happen all the time. Uvechinam hayelo yiros upachadimehem. And in vain, for naught, the person had all of these nervousness, all this anxiety. Because right? What can a person actually do to you? Hashem runs the world. And again, when you leave it at the end of your life, you look back, you're like, I guess things are all right. Wasn't so bad. V'chein le'inyan ha'tayvos. The same thing is true when it comes to our desires. Sometimes a person feels enslaved and snared by his desires. I can't free myself from my desires. Again, he'll come to the realization, he'll see so clearly that for naught, b'chinam, for free, in vain, he wasted away his life with shtusim, bilbulim, ka'elu, chasing after, pursuing being overwhelmed by all sorts of narishkai, umi achriachos al lezeh. And what forced you to any of this? What forced you to believe that you need this? I thought your tahara forced me. My taivas told me. But again, in the end, kirak oz yir ha'emes heitev heitev. But when it's all said and done, you realize my fears were silly. My taivas were silly. And obviously the point that Rabbi Nachman wants us to know is that it's possible for a person to think about these things now. When you're dead, it'll be so obvious to you. You'll finally slow down and you'll be like, oh yeah, now I get it. It'll be crystal clear that nekud of emes, he said the word emes 3 or 4 times already. Right, just before we take your comment, just take a look please on side 2 at the Likutei Halachos in source number 5. Rabbi Nassan in Hilchos Tefillin, in Likutei Halachos, is really commenting on Rabbi Nachman's famous words, which we'll get to in a few moments, of the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. Right, the narrow bridge of this passage through this world. But he writes here, Ki ikir ha-gesher la'avur ala b'zeh olam hu emes. Again, like Rabbi Nachman said many times, there's a simple truth that we want to get to, and unfortunately, we often get to it like when everything's said and done. Why not get to it in your lifetime? Why not realize, why not use your rational mind to overpower your irrational thoughts and desires, your irrational fears and your irrational desires? So the way to pass through this adventure called life, and to do so well, is through this nikuda, this inyan called emes. Ki isa b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbi Nachman talks about, cha'adam tzarach la'avur b'zeh olam al gesher tzar. A person needs to cross through this world on a narrow bridge. Va'ikar shelo yispached klal. And the main thing is not to frighten yourself. V'lizkos l'zeh la'avur al gesher shel zeh olam. Well, Yidei Bechinas Gesher Shel Tefillin, which we're not going to talk about now, that's the context over here. Shehem Bechinas Emes. But the main way to make it through without fear is to remind yourself again and again of the truth, and to not fall into bilbulish thinking. Kamo Oimrim HaOlam, as people say, where it's bolded, Shehem Emes Yecholin La'avur Kol HaOlam. With truth, a person can make it through the entire world. If you just cling to truth, if you surround yourself with truthful people and truthful ideas, you can laugh at how silly some of the things that we become enslaved to are. Ki ha'ikar hu ha'emes. Because the main thing is emes. Ki chosmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. Uvo nechtem u'shamayim va'aretz. The seal, the stamp of Hashem, is emes. And it was with emes which Hashem sealed and stamped shamayim va'aretz. As the Torah begins, Bereshis bara Elokim, Sofe Tevos, Emes. Bereshis ends with a Tav, bara is an Aleph, Elokim is a Mem. The last three letters of the first three words of the Torah spell out Emes. So the world is stamped with Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stamp is Emes. You got to look for it. If you recognize that, it's easy. Shal zeh omed kol ha'olam u'molamo. Upon it, the entire world stands. And all that is within it. And again, all of the opposition, all of the confusion in Avodas Hashem, Sha'ikrahu Minias Samawach, it's all sorts of ideas that creep into our mind. Ha'ikr ha'etzel la'avur aleim hu emes. Emes. And what we're about to see, and again, as I said last week, and I said it to someone on the phone yesterday, I was talking to a guy who used to be in our shir. I said, Rabbi Nachman's the best therapist. Because Rabbi Nachman's about to say, your fears and anxieties are irrational. Many of them are irrational. You know that they're irrational. That's the craziest part. You're going to see how he explains it in a second. We're going to go back to the Sikha Saran in a second. But you know they're irrational, and your body is still telling you you're afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid. Yeah, what did you want to say?
No, I was going to ask, what kind of times is your afraid? Do you drink? What is that like?
Anything.
Never attained, or?
Probably both. Probably both. Certainly the ones you haven't attained, that right? I mean, this goes very well with Sikha Vav, which we mentioned the other night in the Vilna Gaon Shir, right? Where the Yitzhar runs around with his closed fist saying, oh, this is what you need, this is what you need, and he opens his hand, there's nothing in it. Right, so that muscle from Rabbi Nachman in Os Vav and Sikha Saran is obviously very, very much connected. But even the ones that you have attained, and the feeling that I still, even after I've realized that it's not as geschmack as I imagined, so I chased and I made $1 million. Finally made $1 million. No, it doesn't seem to solve anything. Right? And yet I still, there's a part of me that's listening, ah, but this is it. I've already tasted the truth that this is not it. And there's a part of me that still thinks this is it. I still want the taiva. Right? I'm still, I've seen that this fear is irrational, and yet I'm still afraid.
Because I'm saying that you're coming to the realization when you're already not in this world, but for those kind of taivas that you've already attained, you can't come to the realization while you're still...
Correct, and that's the goal. And again, it's all about, he says, when you die, then you have yeshiva das. So how do you work to have yeshiva das when you're not dead? How do you slow down a little bit and think about real things while you're still alive? Got to make time for that. If you're just running from shir to class to shir to class to this to that to this to that, you never stop and think. Okay, it's very hard. It's about this, yeah. Yeah. Just sitting down for 2 minutes a day, 10 seconds a day. If you would say out loud, if you would be makabel upon yourself to say out loud to yourself, once a day. If you would just say out loud to yourself once a day, what is the purpose of my life? If you would say that to yourself once a day, what is the purpose of my life? You'd be a different person. That would change a person. If you stopped long enough for 3 seconds to say, what is the purpose of my life? You would ask yourself, without even answering that, you don't have to answer it out loud to yourself. If you would just stop at some point, you know, as you're running around, running to here, running to there, getting to this, doing that, calling back this one, checking your email, writing that paper, running to class, grabbing lunch, if you would just stop and say, what is the purpose of my life? If you would do that every day, it would totally like recenter a person towards this MS that Rabbi Nachman was talking about. It doesn't take a long time. But unfortunately, we run until we're finally dead on the floor, literally dead on the floor, says Rabbi Nachman. And all of a sudden, you're like, now I get it. That's very chaval. No? That's very chaval. Again, that's how life goes fast. What happens? We go. Okay, so let's read a little bit more insight. We're in the line that begins with MS, about 8 lines in. Yeah.
Do you think that could avoid a burnout if you do that?
What do you mean?
You just say, like, what's the purpose of my life? If you ask a question, ask that question every day to yourself, do you think you could avoid getting burnt out?
I don't know. Depends what you're burnt out about.
Burnt out means you don't have, like, a break.
And you're probably doing too many things that you don't need to be doing. What's healthy about doing more than you can handle in a way that's harmful to you? That shouldn't be a hard concept, no? And we do it. We all do it. Why am I doing things that are harmful to myself? So you got to slow down. You got to slow down a little bit. That's the part. Rabbi Nachman says, let's go into this a little bit more, right? Because there's something to it. There's something here. Again, there are certain things that, again, a person creates a certain anxiety or creates a certain fear from those things. And even though he knows clearly in his mind, he's yodeya bidaito beveirur chazak. If you ask him, do you really think that's going to happen to you? You really? Not that I think it's going to happen, but what if it did happen? You really think that's going to... It has happened. It has happened in the history of the world. It has happened. Lo aleinu, it has happened. Someone died in a plane crash. It has happened in the history of the world. It has happened. There are people who cannot get onto a plane because it has happened. Now, if they also know statistically speaking, there's probably equally, you know, if not more people who've died in car accidents and they don't have a problem going in a car. Right? So, like, if we were to talk on a rational level, right, it's totally irrational, their fear of flying. But that's what they feel. And they know, they could say, I know, Bevei Chazak, I know the statistics, I know. I know it's irrational. I know for sure that the thing that I'm afraid of is not, you know, reality. But they're still very afraid of that thing. That thing is injecting fear into my life. Kamosha Anu Rowan. He gives an interesting example. Kamosha Anu Rowan, Shinimtsam, Kama Bene Adam, Shem Pachdanim Gedolim. There are some people who are just very fearful people. They have a lot of anxiety, very nervous. Sheesh Lam Pachadim Shal Shtus. And again, to the average person who doesn't have a program that way, with those types, that level of anxiety, it seems absurd. What are you worried about? What are you nervous about? The person's so nervous about everything. And if you ask the person, they'll tell you, I know it doesn't really make sense, but it gets me too nervous. They know it doesn't make sense, and they're still afraid of it. Rav Nachman gives another interesting example. You walk up behind someone, right, and you startle them. From behind. Right? Someone comes up behind you and says, boo. Shabon Allah me'achar of pitom. Someone comes from behind you suddenly. Bevela bekol pachar. Yeah. If they startle you, you're frightened. Azayu take off mispachid ma'od. And you get scared. Now let's think for a second. What am I scared of when that happens? Why is my body responding as if it's scared? What is it scared of? What is it scared of? What does it think it's experiencing? What does it think is happening? It thinks it's under attack. It thinks someone's about to jump me and steal my wallet. Someone's about to physically abuse me. What does it think is happening? Right? Why is the body startled? The pachad enters a person. Azayu take up mispachid ma'od kodam shamaschel adaver lichlas bedaito klal. The mind doesn't even know what it's afraid of. Before I can even create a scenario of what might be happening to me, right? Let's say you're in an environment where you know you're safe. And you're still startled. Right? When my daughter hides like around the corner, you know, and she says, boo! And she scares, right? And she sees her daddy jump and then she laughs. And she thinks it's fun. Right? So first of all, Mira, it's not funny. The second of all, right? What am I scared of? What did I think was happening? Did I think a robber was in my house about to attack me? Did I think a wild animal got into my house and was about to bite me? So before I even understood, before my brain could even create a scenario of which I could in theory be afraid of, my body is so scared. Shadayin ein yodea klal shum davar. My mind doesn't even know what's going on. Ki bo elav pito me'achar. My brain hasn't even processed it yet, and I'm scared. V'afal pichein u'mispachein teikaf u'miyad kodem shi'itzchel adas leidem ein in apachad. My mind doesn't even know what it's responding to, but it responds. So Rav Nachman says, that's such an interesting thing. It's an interesting phenomenon. That a person could be afraid of something he doesn't even know what he's afraid of. But says Rav Nachman, it must be, the truth of the matter must be, that there are certain fears that for whatever reason we haven't stopped to work through. And it's trickling over into other experiences. And his main point is that if we would somehow be able to align the irrational response and the rational mind, and again, the starting point, he started with the word Yishav Adas, he said it again now, right, to enter into a state of Das. If a person would just pause long enough to think through and to somehow be able to override his irrational emotional system with his rational mind, then he would know the truth. Let's take it again, let's take it from the realm of these anxieties, let's bring it back into the realm of desire. Because desire, I think, is again, it's an area that we feel I can control maybe easier, or maybe I've experienced it more directly. V'chein b'inyan ha-taivos. He writes in the next 6 lines from the end of source 1. V'chein b'inyan ha-taivos. Hu gam ken kach mamish. Again, let's say a person, going back to Jack's question, right? Let's say a person has experienced this taiva. The person tasted the forbidden fruit. Right? And then they realize, it's not as exciting as I imagined it to be. When it comes to taivos, right? When it comes to taivos, the same thing is true. Sha'afal pi sha'adam yodea. Sha'ataiva hazos hu shtus v'heva. Even though he knows, whether he knows it from experience or he just knows it, he knows it rationally. He knows. Maybe he knows it from experience. Maybe he knows it because someone who experienced it told him. A person who's a multi-millionaire, you're still a person who's got a big taivas mamon. Got your eyes on making big money. Think, if I had a lot of money, then life would be so geschmack. I wouldn't have to worry about money. It would be so, I could have whatever I want. Wouldn't have to think twice about buying things. And you meet a very wealthy person, and he tells you, I'm telling you, I could see, if you see, you know, you want to like have a conversation with him because you feel like maybe get an internship with this guy, right? And he says to you, listen, I could see you've got the bug, you know? You want to make a lot of money. He could tell you, let me tell you something, young man. I've made a lot of money in my life. I promise you it's not the answer. It's not going to bring you happiness. So to the degree that I've come to appreciate my family, my friends, by giving back to others, by being able to share my money with others, that's what gives me pleasure. My money for myself has done nothing for me. In fact, it's made my life more complicated and sometimes more miserable. So you look at the guy like, yeah, okay. I'll believe it when I like experience it myself. Right? Now there's a part of you that knows this guy's telling you the truth. You know he's telling you the truth. And you know, you've heard it a million and one times that this is not the answer, and yet the taiva still, the desire still resides within you. He knows it's not the answer, and yet his body still tells him, but I want it. Valkain. So says Rabbi Nachman in conclusion, the last couple of lines where he's bolted. Valkain bavada ima adam yi yashiv atzmo heitev. So if I can get in tune with myself, whether that's by sitting by myself and just thinking, maybe writing, maybe talking to a dear friend, a Rebbe, a therapist. If I can line up the pieces of my life so I'm not constantly trapped in between what I know is rationally true, but my reality does not reflect my ability to live that truth, that emes that Rabbi Nachman was talking about. If I can get to a state of yishuv hadas, if I'm able to be miyashiv myself, b'kal yuchal l'salik mimenu kol ha'yiros v'apechadim, then he can overcome all of those fears. He can learn, he can experience that it's not rational. Whatever you think is going to happen is not going to happen to you. A person who has a paralyzing OCD when it comes to germs, they're nervous to like touch a doorknob because it's so dirty. Which it is, it's dirty. It is dirty. But this person is so, right? We all think it's a little gross, a little bit dirty. Most of us can touch the doorknob. But some people can't. So they get a therapist. Yeah, they get a good therapist. And the therapist is is helping them to be able through certain behavioral techniques to get comfortable with touching the dirty doorknob. So at first that person is so right, they get so anxious, their heart starts racing just when they're near it. So the therapist says, okay, I want you to stand, you're scared to like go anywhere near it, I want you to stand next to the door. Right? I know it's uncomfortable for you. Nothing's going to happen. Go stand next to the door. Stand next to something that's dirty. The person stands there for a couple of seconds and they move away. They can't. Okay, good. That was very good. You stood there for 5 seconds. Good. Now we're going to try for 10 seconds. Right? You saw it. Nothing happened. You stood there for 5 seconds. Nothing happened. Right? You survived. Nothing happened. You dropped dead. Right? Now go do it for 10 seconds. Go do it for a minute. Right? Touch the doorknob with a tissue. And then go wash your hands afterwards. Touch the doorknob with a tissue and then don't wash your hands. Sit for a minute without washing your hands. Look, nothing happened. Nothing happened. You're okay. Right? Until eventually the person, again, through this, you know, behavioral training, comes to realize, you know what? Wow, whatever I was afraid of is not true. Now, the doorknob might still be a little gross, right? And maybe it is not a terrible idea to have a little, you know, Purell thing in your pocket. Right? Maybe that's not OCD. Maybe that's just, I don't know, maybe that's just smart. Maybe you'll be healthier. Get sick less often. Right? But the person, the original fear that they had was so extreme. It wasn't in line with MS. So the person had to do the work. They could go their whole life trying to just avoid touching doorknobs, you know? Or they could do the work and they could figure out what is that anxiety? Where does that come from? Why do I feel this way? And they're able to realign the rational reality of things with their irrational feelings. That's a very powerful thing. So when a person works on himself in this way, he's able to remove that yiras pachad. The same thing is true for the taivos. Why would the Bali Musa recite, you know, like certain Mamar Chazal over and over and over and over? Why was that an Indian by Bali Musa? To say over and over and over again, Hakina va taiva va kavod mutsiyana saldam in aola. Hakina va taiva va kavod mutsiyana. Because we all know it's true that jealousy makes you a broken person. And yet we're still jealous people sometimes. So the Bali Musa would take the time to work on it. And they would say over and over again, Kina, jealousy removes me from the world. Jealousy removes me from the world. Jealousy removes me from the world. They would say it hundreds of times and meditate on it until they really felt, I don't want to be a jealous person anymore. I don't want to chase after taivas. It's stupid. It's irrational. If it's become an addiction, so I need to get someone who can help me as an addict to overcome this addiction. Because this is stupid. This doesn't make sense that I'm allowing myself to be enslaved to this desire. I know it doesn't make sense. That's the crazy part. I know it doesn't make sense. There's a rational part of me that says, Beberu Chazak, I know it's not true. But a person becomes stuck in it. But when I contemplate that, right, because I already know it on some subconscious level, so I'm able to overcome it. Al Kain, Bakal, Yuchal, Leshabr, Ulesalek, Akol. In this way, I'm able to remove whatever it is. All those things that most people don't acknowledge, like we started, until they're dead. They're like, oh yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, ugh, so silly that I wasted so much time and emotional energy on that thing. I could have worked through it if I would have just been more, you know, miyushav, I would have had more yishav adas. I would have taken the time to think about it. Because sof kol sof, says Rabbi Nachman, in the last line, a person is a baal b'chira, we have free will. Uvekal yuchal lahargil daito lesalik imenu oso adavar, shemimenu bom kol apachadim. And with work, with effort, a person can train himself to overcome those fears and anxieties. Amazing piece, no? It's true. It's real work, but it's true. But again, we have to figure out, am I afraid of something that I should be afraid of, I could be afraid of? I shall show this on Shabbos. I shared a piece from the Sefer Avodas Pnim. Avodas Pnim says, on the one hand, you have a pasuk that says, Ashrei Aldim Mafachei Tamit. Pasuk in Mishlei. Praiseworthy is the person who's always afraid. And even another pasuk, right? Ashrei Adam Boteach Bach. Praiseworthy is the person who has bitachon in you. So the Avodas Pnim writes, the Slonim Rechas that he passed away in 1969. He said that apparently bitachon and pachad are opposites. Bitachon is the antidote to pachad. But then he writes something which is very deep. He says, you know, some people are just more nervous by nature. Some people are not afraid to take risks. That's just their personality. So that doesn't mean that person, right, has a lot of bitachon or vice versa. He says, a person has to do the work that Rabbi Nachman is describing here, and then afterwards has to have true pachad. What's true pachad? Ashrei Adam Mafachei Tamid. What does that mean? What does Mishlei mean when he says, praiseworthy is the person who's always anxious? Who's always afraid? Right? When he has a real pachad, a genuine pachad, that what? When he has a deep recognition that everything I have is from Hashem. And in a second, everything can be taken away. My health can be taken away, lo aleinu. My money can be taken away. Everything, my whole life, my whole world can be overturned in a second if Hashem, God forbid, would desire to do that to me. And he has that pachad. And then he removes that pachad with Asher Eldon Boteach Bach. But then I work on my bitachon to trust that Hashem in His mercy and His kindness has bestowed upon me the good things that I, so to speak, in quotations, have. The things that I own, so to speak. So then that's real pachad and that's real bitachon. And he's ma'arech on that inyan. But we sometimes think, bitachon, just because a person is, you know, not scared to take risks, doesn't mean big ball bitachon. He's not programmed to be a nervous person. And a person who's very nervous by nature doesn't mean he's nervous because he thinks, oh my gosh, he might just be a scared person. To develop a real pachad, a genuine yiras shamayim type of pachad, and then to be able to counter that with a real bitachon, that's a very chashuv thing. That's not a small thing at all. Yeah, Dan.
It's clearly a shift there on Nelson writes how not going to work. Like, basically, so like to overcome all these sorts, every single temptation, right, desire here in the whole entire world. But one of the things that Rav Nachman struggled with the most was the fear of death, or the fear of actually dying.
Right.
Which is interesting. Because
it is interesting.
I wrote this here, like, just as like a note. I don't know if it's true, but like I wrote that, like, fear comes from not knowing what's going to happen in the future. But Rav Nachman didn't fear a world of not knowing, because he actually embraced the world of not knowing. He said the ultimate goal is to not realize that one knows nothing at all. So what he did fear was a world of all knowing, because he says that when a person dies, everything becomes clear. And that's why you fear death.
Right, fear of death is not a fear of dying. It was, obviously, he not understands that the neshama lives eternally. Right, but he liked the world of, he liked the opportunity to have the bechira to not know, and to enter into a world where the MS is so revealed. Right, the fear that maybe I don't acquire the MS when I still have the chance to choose the MS. Right, again, that's how this piece began. When I'm dead, the MS is perfectly clear, and then you regret, why didn't I figure this out in my lifetime? Why do I have to wait to die to have this handed to me on a silver platter? So he was afraid that, right, maybe I don't, that's good. That's very good. Maybe I don't acquire it in my lifetime and it's given to me in that world of all knowing. Yeah. Yeah. That's very powerful. Okay, Chava, let's just do a little bit more, just a couple more minutes. In source number 3, in the Likutei Moharan, in the famous Torah of the Gesher Tzar Ma'or, so he talks about, again, being able to be mechazik oneself in this inyan. In other words, to take control, as Rabbi Nachman ended the piece, you're a baal bechira. You don't have to allow life to be so scary. You don't have to allow the taivas to be so overwhelming. There are choices that you can make. There are things that you can work on. You can get better at making better choices over the course of a lifetime. It's not easy. It's a formidable enemy. But a person can work on himself. And he writes here, and again, it's late, I'm just going to read a little bit, which is where it's bolded in source number 3. He says, I heard from a tzaddik amiti, who said, where it's bolded, She'ilu haya omer lo echad, if someone would have just said to me, yeah, mi she'yeh, whoever it would be, it doesn't have to be, I don't need to hear this from like the Gadol Hador. But if someone would just say to me, be'eis she'asak ba'avodas Hashem b'tchilaso, if someone would have just told me from the beginning, as I began kind of this uphill battle, Achi, my brother, Chazak ve'achoiz atzmecha. If someone had just told me, you can do it. Be strong. Believe in yourself. Don't be enslaved to your fears. Right? Don't be too small to overcome your taivas. If someone would have just told me, you can do it, Hayisi rotz umizdareiz ma'od ba'avodasi yisvarach. I would have had so much more energy in my avodas Hashem. I just needed someone to tell me it's possible. Because when you're staring at that mountain of all of, you know, life's opposition and challenges, the people who oppose me, and the emotions that oppose me, and the yetzer haras that oppose me, right? And just the struggles of the world, of making it, you know, all the things that could happen. It's very overwhelming. But if someone would just tell me, you can do it, you're going to be fine. You can do it. Kigama love aver kol anal. If someone would have said, I also, you know, the mashal of the garden maze and Mesilas Yesharim, someone who's already made it through the maze says, I'm telling you, it's a little complicated, but you'll find your way through. You'll make it to the end of the tunnel. If I would have just heard that, then how different life would be. If I don't hear that, it's such a different experience. And I hear, if someone would just say to me, you can do it, brother, you can do it. You're going to be okay. You have what it takes to make it through. I would be a different person. Rabbi Nachman says, and therefore when a person begins their avodas Hashem, you have to know, you can do it, you can do it. It's not such, it looks like a very overwhelming experience. Life, I'm telling you, it goes so fast. I told you the other week, I don't know, I'm 40 years old, I don't know how I got to be 40 years old already. Halavai, I should live to 160, because I haven't even started yet. It goes so fast. And you know, there's things that I'm scared of, and there's things that I was scared of, things that I'm still scared of. Rabbi Nachman writes the bottom line on page 1, Vida sha'adam tzarech la'avur al gesher tzar ma'od ma'od. A person, everyone knows, right? A person needs what? To cross through a gesher tzar ma'od ma'od, a very, very narrow bridge. It seems like you could fall off any moment, but it's short. Compared to the eternity of your soul before it came to this world, compared to the eternity or neshama after it leaves this world, if we could just meditate a little bit on these ideas, it would be such a... We would not be overwhelmed by the, okay, yeah, we still have to write the paper, we still got to take the midterm, still got to get the summer internship, still got to figure out, you know, relationships, got to figure out where I want to live in the world, what I want to do professionally, what type of Jew I want to be, all these things, I got to pick a path, and like this or like that. But the main thing is not to make yourself afraid. Yispachid is reflexive. Don't cause yourself to be afraid. It doesn't say Vayikar lo lefachid klal. But don't make yourself afraid of things you don't need to be afraid of. Rav Menachem Froman, who was a very unique and special person. If you've heard of him and you know who he is, you don't need that introduction. If you never heard of him, then I haven't done it justice. He was a very interesting personality. I felt the need to put a picture of him on the page so you could at least see him. And again, no picture does justice. Ashi will send another 20 pictures to the group and you'll see. Rav Froman was a very, very interesting person. Rav Froman writes, or Rav Froman shared, they put out these little svarim of his. So in the Sefer HaAdam Hu Kamoch, a person's like a tailor. He says, Rav Nachman Omer Sha'ikr lo lefachid klal. Right, really, lo lehitpachid klal. The main thing, Rav Nachman said, the main thing is not to be afraid. Ani poigesh breslover charedi. He said, you meet a breslover who's a charedi. Vani toa. It's a source of wonderment to me. Ani lo omer shaladerach ha-charedis ein hatzdaka. I don't say that the charedi way is not the right way. Rav Froman he was not boxed in. Right? The charedi lifestyle comes with certain expectations. So, not chashom making fun of charedim. He was chared l'dvar Hashem in the every sense of the word. But he says, you know, the charedim who have very specific rules that they're forced to play by. He says, I'm not saying that there's no righteousness or truth. Of course, very halakha thing. Charedi is a very halakha thing. But charedim are sometimes very nervous. Very nervous about everything. Everything has to be a certain way. Right? I mean, like a charedi is. So he said, I met a breslover who's a charedi. Charedi breslover. Sometimes breslovers are very chill. And sometimes charedim are very uptight. I met a charedi breslover and I wondered. I'm not saying charedi is not good. So he said, I'm not saying charedi is not good. I saw this guy, he's very nervous. Will I kedai lefachid? Right? Maybe it's kedai to be a little bit afraid. Yesh berechovot nemarim. There are wild animals in the streets. It's dangerous. The world is a dangerous place. It's a scary place. Az ulai kedai lizbatzer me'acharei achomos. Maybe it's good to kind of, you know, box yourself into the psychological ghetto of the Haredi world. There's a lot of value in that. The world's a scary place. The Vilna Gaon did not like going outside. He liked staying in his Dalet Amos. So Rishon Bar Yochai, those 12 years in the cave, was very happy living in a cave with his son, eating carob and drinking water and learning Zohar with his son and Eliyahu Navi. I don't know. I understand, I get it. He says, I get it. But then he writes the last three lines. Aval, however, Atzasosh Rabbi Nachman, he lo lefachid klal. But Rabbi Nachman said, not to be afraid at all. And that's where I have a question on my charedi breslover friend. Rabbi Nachman gam amar lo leachol batzel. Rabbi Nachman also said you shouldn't eat raw onions. Rabbi Nachman said a lot of things. Aval hu lo amar shezeh ha'ikar. Rabbi Nachman never said, don't eat ha'ikar. And the main thing, not to eat a raw onion. Rabbi Nachman never said that. Rabbi Nachman did, however, say that the ikar is lo lefachet klal, or lo lehitzbachet klal. So if you want to be a real wrestler, I have to ask you, why do you look so nervous all the time? Why are you so scared? Now maybe your Asher Adam Mefachid Tamei, maybe your Pachad is really a Halga Pachad, or maybe you're just a nervous person. Maybe you're an unhealthy person. Maybe you're unhealthy in your fear, right? And it's actually paralyzing. In your relationship with Hashem, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your Chavrusa, your relationship with the person who is online in front of you or behind you at the supermarket. Maybe your fear makes it impossible for you to, you know, to take the seat that you were assigned on the airplane without forcing someone to switch your seat, cause a whole tumult. Maybe that's not a healthy pachad. Maybe it's a chil Hashem. I don't know. Rabbi Nachman said, the ikar is lo the pachad klal. The main thing The ikr, the main thing, more than anything else, is lo lefachid klal. You think you're worried, it's a holy thing. Maybe it's not holy at all. Pasuk says in source number 6, the Pasuk in Devarim says, Ve'yisir Hashem bimcha kol choli. A bracha, Hashem should remove from you all illness. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Shabbos, in source number 7. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Ve'yisir Hashem bimcha kol choli, what does it refer to? Zera ayon, this refers to worry. It's called a choli, it's called an illness. Being too nervous is an illness, and it's treatable. Rabbi Nachman's point is, it's treatable. Get a good therapist, get a good Rebbe, get a good chavrusa, get a good hesbod of the session going, and work through it. Don't wait till you're lying on the floor dead to say, ah, now it all makes sense to me. Daiga. So unnecessary. It can be worked on. And it's chaval. When you see people who live with paralyzing fear, it's really, really sad. It's chaval. Chaval, they never took the medication that could have helped them to have a much happier and healthier life. It's chaval. Rabbi Biederman tells a story in the Bera Parsha from Parshas Ekev a couple of years ago. He said that Rav Avram Genachovsky, Chashev Yid, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Avram Genachovsky, one time there was a fire in his building, and Baruch Hashem, he got out, everyone got out, and he's standing there watching this fire take place as the firefighters are trying to extinguish the fire, and people are watching their stuff go up in flames. And someone thought to himself, Avram Genachovsky was a big, he put out his farm, fat, published some of his writings. He was a big machadish. And they said, oh my gosh, he probably has volumes and volumes of writings, of handwritten ksavim, his notebooks of all his chidush Torah are probably going up in flames. And if they're not going to be destroyed in the fire, they're going to be destroyed by the water when they try to extinguish the fire. And he's standing there very calmly, just kind of observing this scene. And they say to him, someone had the courage to say to him, Rabbi, aren't you worried? Aren't you nervous? You know, I mean, he looked calm, which was crazy. His whole world's going up in smoke. I mean, Baruch Hashem, he was alive, he was safe, he was outside. But they said to him, aren't you, where's the daiga? How do you maintain such a menuchas and nefesh? Aren't you bedaiga? Aren't you in a state of daiga? And he said back to them, by a Jew, it's only kedai to be bedaiga once a week. He said, what are you talking about, Rabbi? He said, I'll tell you. The Shulchan Aruch says that when you cut your nails on Shabbos, there's an order you're supposed to cut your nails. Right, what's the order you're supposed to cut your nails? When you cut your right hand, so you're supposed to go 2, 4, 1, 3, 5. So that's Beis, Dalet, Aleph, Gimel, Hay, Bedaiga. He says, that's the only time I'm Bedaiga. When I'm thinking about in Siman Reish Samech, when the Shulchan Aruch tells you how to cut your nails, that's the only time I'm bedaiga. Other than that, why am I bedaiga? Hashem runs the world. Why should I allow this event to tell me how I should feel emotionally? That's a very unbelievably spiritually and emotionally healthy person who really believes in Hashem and really has worked on himself that he's so in control that why should I be bedaiga? And I'll tell you one final yisod, and we'll end with just one last word of chizuk. It says that when Avram Avinu was getting close to Mitzrayim, he recognized that Sarah is very beautiful. And the Pasuk says in source number 9, Hineinu yadati ki isha yafas mare'at. Now I know that you're very beautiful. Why all of a sudden did Avram say, Hineinu yadati, now I recognize, now I know? So Rashi says, he quotes the Medrash Agada, source number 10, Ad achshav lo hikir ba mitoch snidas shebishneihem, v'achshav hikir ba al yedei maisa. Medrash tells the story, until now he was not even aware of his own wife's beauty, and something happened that caused him to become aware of it. An incident occurred. Look at the Medrash, Rashi says. Davar acher, another pshat. Minaga olam shal yedei torah chaderach adam isbaza. V'zos on the biyafya. He's been schlepping Sarah around. Typically when people travel, they don't look as good as when they're, they have time to fix their hair and do their makeup. And Sarah, somehow, despite the travels on the road, she still looked beautiful. So he said, wow, I never realized how beautiful you are. Interesting. But the Pashup shot, says Rashi, Pshuto shal mikra, hineinohi giya hashah shiyesh lidog al yafich. As we go to Mitzrayim, which is known to be a very sexually perverse place, now the time has come, hineinohi giya hashah. The time has arrived to be concerned about your beauty. Because they're going to want to kill me and take you for your beauty. That's the Pashup shot. Hineinohi yadati, now I'm thinking about it. Now the time has come to worry about it. So I saw a pshat one time from Rav Meir Soloveitchik. He said there's a very tremendous, again, these are amazing Torahs, but there's such fundamental psychological insights. Rav Meir Soloveitchik said, Hine no yadati. What's the pashup pshat? Rashi's third pshat, the pashup pshat. Is that what? Now that we're actually going to Mitzrayim, where they might actually kill me and take you as, take my wife as their, you know, as their mistress. So now is the time to worry. In other words, said Rav Meir Soloveitchik, look how Avram understood. I could always be nervous about this. Something could always happen. Someone could always try to kill me and steal my wife. Right? But that would be irrational. When I'm actually going to Mitzrayim, where they actually do things like this, now is the time to be nervous. But why should I be nervous beforehand? Why should I be nervous afterwards? Right? In other words, this is saying, you know what, there are going to be things in life that when it's actually happening, b'shas ma'isa, it's reasonable. Even Avram was nervous when it made sense to be nervous. But not beforehand. Not an hour beforehand. Not an hour afterwards. He didn't live his whole life with that fear when it wasn't even relevant yet. That's a chush of insight. If you're going to be nervous, at least try to be nervous when it's appropriate to be nervous. But when it's not necessary to be nervous, don't get stuck in it. Hinei nohi gia hasha. Now is the time to be nervous. Now is the time to be nervous. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Nachman's punchline, which again is sometimes lost when you learn this piece in Sichas Aran, is that you're a Baal Bechira. And at the end of the day, he's not just saying, listen, the truth will be known in the future. He's saying, work on it now. Realize that you have the strength to do it now. In the introduction to Likutei Maran, there's this beautiful poem arranged according to the letters of Rabbi Nachman's name, the Shir Na'im. It's very poetic, very hard to even translate. But one of the lines in the Shir Na'im, in source number 11, Rabbi Nachman says, Chazek v'nis chazek. Be strong, be courageous. Al tia kapil hagadol. Don't be like a big elephant, v'kagamal, or like a camel. Afilu kishemashcheyu b'chot moha'achbar lo yivad bo. When the mouse, when a little mouse comes, right, and frightens the elephant, when the little mouse comes and starts to pull on the elephant's nose, and the elephant's scared to fight back. You're an elephant, you could crush this mouse in a second. It's only because the elephant doesn't know its strength. The camel doesn't recognize its strength. Says Rabbi Nachman, Aval nafshi hapikachas v'chazaka. The soul which is so smart and so strong, use it. Mata asel yom pakuda. What are you going to answer on the day of reckoning? When Hashem says, I gave you so much power, and you thought the world was so hard. It was hard, but there were also a lot of things you could have done to help yourself. So why didn't you? What are you going to answer? Ma tashiv l'sholchecha. What are you going to say to the one who sent you? You had resources. You had good friends. You had good rebbeim. You lived in a world where there was an abundance of svarim. You had an infinite amount of shiurim. What's your excuse for not getting what you needed to be a better person, a healthier person, a stronger person? So, chaver, the bottom line is in the final source. We say in Ashrei every day, lo dia levnei adam gvurosav. Part of our responsibility as Ovdei Hashem is lo'odiyah livnei adam, to make known to mankind gvurosav, his strength. Namely, the strength of Hashem. Right? David HaMelech says, lo'odiyah livnei adam gvurosav. The world should come to recognize how powerful God is. But the tzaddikim explained, there's another pshat. Lo'odiyah livnei adam, to make it known, livnei adam, to people, gvurosav, his own strength. Ratzolomar shala adam ledas gvuros atzmo. A person needs to know his own strength. That it's within him to defeat the Yitzhar, even though the Yitzhar is a malach. Because the bottom line is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give a person a Yitzhara that he cannot defeat. You just have to use the rational, emistic part of yourself to overpower the irrational part of yourself. It's too scared, and that's too, you know, controlled by the taivas. So I give us a bracha. We should get the help that we need. That's the biggest bracha in the world. It's all available to us. We should be Bali Bechira, who pursue emes in our lifetime, and we don't wait till we're dead to find, oh yeah, now all of a sudden, oh yeah. Yeah, it wasn't so hard. I could have done it. So Rabbi Nachman's telling you, Rabbi Nachman says, hi, I'll let you know. You can do it. And now that you know that, let's go do it. Alright? Yeah, John. That's nice. That's very nice. That's good.
Calling them about like a certain thing that's like important.
Okay.
For a certain point in my life, that's why I line up. So he's like, so either it's gonna go wrong or it's gonna go right. He's like, instead of worrying about going wrong, hope about it going right.
Right.
It's like you choose which way you look at it.
Right.
So that was very apropos.
Right. Right. And talk out what the fear of the wrong is. I mean, how bad is the wrong?
He's a big lip, so I've never addressed him.
Okay.
Still goes better.
Yeah, because amuna is the antidote to pachad. Amuna and bitachon. Yeah. Anyone else want to share anything? We all need this.